But you're not in the seat that you sat. If that's where you want to sit. There's a purpose to it. Even if it's just one seat along. Oh, look, I've actually got some on the front seat. Brilliant. Now, I haven't got a lot of time because there's so much good stuff happening. So that's good. But I do want to kind of just share some of the things that I experienced out in India and some teaching that I feel is relevant for us here at Buttershaw. But the beauty of it is, it's simple. The message that we carry is a simple message. And sometimes we can get ourselves tied up thinking that we need to know the entirety of the Bible, or I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to do. But the word of the Lord will come to us when we step out in faith. I've experienced that many times before. Just this week, I was speaking to someone, and she was just saying that she's been texting people, and the amount of times that she's texted or just turned up at someone's house, and they've gone, oh my word, the timing could not be better. I was just thinking about you. And this is Christians and non-Christians alike. And sometimes we just make it into such a big thing that we think we have to do everything. We don't. We just need to make ourselves available and step out in faith. And this is what I saw out in India. But let me just read from Luke chapter 10. We've been kind of not stuck in this, but it keeps on coming up, Luke chapter 10. And I just want to focus on just a few verses. So if you want to follow along, I'm reading from the NIV, I'm sorry, but it's just my go-to. But it's Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to be starting at verse 8. So it says, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But when you enter a town and you are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust on your own town that sticks to our feet will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of Sodom than for that day in that town. So here we hear a message where Jesus sent out the 72, and he doesn't really give a map. He doesn't say, go here, 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 here. He just says, when you enter into a house, when you enter into a town, seek peace. Seek peace. And just declare that the kingdom of God is here. It's like a blueprint, really, that God offers us. He doesn't give us all the details. But he's asking, inviting us to step out into faith. And the reason why I chose specifically this is because this is what I saw out in India. I went to three villages, which were mainly Hindu villages. We had to travel on a road, which was a faith journey within itself. Because there is no such things as you stay on the left or the right. It's just if there's a gap, you go for it. And if there's a lorry or a car coming in the other way, either they go onto the pavement or dusty part of the road, or you do. So that was a step of faith, just getting there. Then we went on a boat and we travelled up these rivers, because it's the only place it's the only way you could get to these places. And what I saw was very, very simple. And I saw this time and time again. First of all, about 3-4 weeks before, they were praying around the towns and the villages. They were praying for peace, for the kingdom of God to come within this establishment of people. And then we showed up. And what they'd do, they would start off with the very basics, medical care. because in India, medical care is not what we have in this country. So they would invite people and then bring a doctor with them and said, anyone who needs any medical care, come. And the doctor will either give you a prescription or give you an injection there and then to help with the basics like flu and mumps and so on and so forth. Then the guy, one of the guys on a little speaker and a dodgy microphone would stand up and he would pray. And he would just pray a blessing over the town. And then he would sing. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And then that's it. They would wait. They would wait for the person of peace. We'd start off by, first of all, after that, we would take the kids off and do activities with them. Because it was good to show the people that we're not just there to tell them, but we're there to share and act out our faith in actions. No words, nothing. And then in every single town, one person would invite us into their house. And they would serve you food. Quite sweet food. It was like Red Bull on steroids. These little like red rice balls and very, very sweet food. But we did what it said here. We went in. We were invited into the house, the person of peace, and we ate whatever was given us. We often had this Tai Chi tea. And that was a mix between a little bit of tea, a lot of milk, and even more sugar. And if you were lucky, there was a bit of ginger in there as well, which was quite nice. So we'd eat these sweet bombs that would explode in your mouth. Like, and then you'd have a sip of tea. And then they'll just start asking questions. And then we'd start sharing our faith and who Jesus was. And every time, by the end of the day, that person of peace would have gathered about 10, 20 others and would be all crammed into this house where we started to share faith. And that person of peace, every time, became a believer in Jesus. And then they would go back a couple of days later and they would show a Jesus film to the whole town. And then they would start up a group with that person. And from that person, it will grow. I got a picture this week sent from a guy called Anu, the first village that we were in. And it was a picture of the household, which was rammed. The first village that we went to, and a household that was rammed full of people who had come to know Jesus. Simple. Simple. In this country, we often get kind of bogged down about the program and making sure that everything's sorted and food and everything. And that's good and that's right. That has a place. But I think sometimes we allow the program to come before the person that is before us. And it's the first time I've ever seen what I've read, particularly in Acts, play out before me. The third village I went... We did the medical centre and we went off with the kids and there was about 20 kids. And we went down into this like bowl and all around were like dikes because they had these fish ponds where they would raise fish and use the water for crops. And we're in this bowl and it's quite a large, like a football pitch size. And it's all these hills behind it. And I'm stood there with the kids and there's about 20 kids and there's a school next door. So they close the school down because something's going on and these 20 kids turn into about 50 kids. And we're just playing these games with the kids. I looked round and the hillside was over 200 people just watching. And I was just reminded of Jesus and feeding the 5,000. That when the Spirit of God is allowed to move, that people will come. And they just sat there and we told them some parables. That's it. That's it. And then I spoke to three people and they all invited me into their house or asked me when I'm coming back because they wanted to know more. Now, some of you might think, well, that works in India. India is a different culture. It's a different place. And yes, you're right to mention that. But one thing I am certain of, it's the same God. It's the same gospel. It's the same hope. But how does that translate into our lives? How's that going to work for us? And I got a privilege to spend time with Ben Francis. Remember Ben who came here? The crazy little Indian? Yeah? He's coming back. He is going to come back. And I want to tell him what I have done. I'm excited to tell him, listen, what I saw out in India and the things that you poured into me, I'm pouring out into Buttershaw and into Bradford and into Yorkshire. I'm being obedient. But more importantly, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And I want to say the same to him. Look what I've done. I've used the talents. I haven't buried it. I've invested it. And it's the real sense of, I feel we have a chance to invest our talents into the gospel and see it transform communities. Just like I saw out in India. Because it's the same God, the same power. But there's a few simple steps that help kind of map out. Again, it's like a blueprint. Map out how this process works. And I just want to share with you this very quickly. And it's based on what Ben called the four chairs. And the four chairs, okay? So the first chair is the seeker, the person of peace. This is like the entry point for everyone into the kingdom of heaven. It's the seeker. And can you imagine, I'm a seeker, I'm sat down, I'm the person of peace, I'm the one who's inviting you into my life by asking questions or inviting you around my house or just being around a lot. God has put people around us who just want to be around us because there's something attractive about us. Yes, you are very good looking, but you carry something that people want. And if you imagine on the bottom of the seat, it says, come and see. It's an invitation, the person of peace, the seeker. And you sat on this chair and on the bottom it says, come and see. Come and see that the Lord is good. So the seeker, he's sat in there and you're showing them, you're telling them about the kingdom of God. And you want them to move. You want them to get to the next chair. But before getting the next chair, there's a barrier. What do you think that barrier is? Who said that? Well done. Sin. That's the barrier. The person of peace, for them to progress into the next phase of kingdom living and knowing who Jesus is, they have sin. And they need to be cleansed. And that's the breakthrough, is cleansing, repenting, turning from their old life and saying, actually, I don't want to continue with my life over here. I want to move with Jesus. So if they repent, they move on to the second chair through sin to believer. Now, Ben, he's very critical at this stage, but I think it's true. He says for most Christians, that's where they stop. That they come, they've seen that the Lord is good, and they've had the breakthrough. They've repented, and they become a believer. But they think, that's it. My job is done. But the interesting thing is that this is not a destination. None of it is a destination. It's a journey. It's a journey that God's calling us to go on and grow. And on this seat, on the believer seat, at the bottom is the words, follow me. Come and follow me. Just like Jesus calling the first disciples. He said very simply, follow me. Follow me into a new life where I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you through who I am, but through your experiences, the things that you've already experienced, I'm going to use that. I'm going to take some away because they're no good. They're not good for you, not healthy, but a lot of the stuff I'm going to keep and I'm going to use. And I'm going to use your experience with, paired with my kingdom, and you're going to see. And you're going to follow me. But I think a lot of us sometimes, if we're honest and reflect on ourselves, that you operate as a believer. And I must admit, when I first heard this, I recognized that in myself, where I've just operated as a believer. And it's a time for testing our hearts, and not to condemn, because there's no condemnation for those who are, who are in Jesus Christ, but to challenge us and say, God, yeah, I've just accepted, I'm saved, but I've done nothing with it. I haven't followed you. I've actually just sat here and waited, and then be disappointed that you haven't used me. And just like the other seat with sin, there's another barrier here to get us onto the next seat. And this seat is the discipleship seat. So to become a believer into a disciple. But the barrier is stuff. There's stuff in our lives. And the breakthrough from becoming a believer to a disciple is pruning. Just like I've already mentioned, God will use some of the stuff that's already in you. But if we really want to grow, we need to be pruned. We need things cut off us. Things that we think about ourselves, things that we've experienced, things that bring doubt and lack of confidence, not just in who He is, but in who we are. We need pruning. We need cutting back. It's a very biblical process. So we need to be pruned. And that's going to break through the next one, to be a disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who lives out the Great Commission, who knows what the Great Commission says. Matthew 28. Go forth and make disciples. Go mark them by baptism and bring them into maturity. Teach them the way I've taught you. Go and share what it says in my word. Go make, mark, and mature. That's what a disciple's job is, to go and do that. To release miracles and healings. To know that the Lord is good. But just like all the other chairs, it says on the bottom here, fisher of men. That's what a disciple is. So you come from a seeker, a person of peace, to a believer, and now you're a disciple, you're a fisher of men. You're living out the Great Commission. But there's another barrier here. There's another barrier here. Satisfaction. You could be satisfied and say, I'm doing it all, God. I'm doing it all. But actually, that can hold us back, because there's always going to be more with God. And we need to break through by abiding in Jesus to become a disciple maker. We need to abide in Him. As we grow in maturity ourselves, as we experience more of His kingdom, we need to couple ourselves as strong as we can and abide in who Jesus is. And this is all, this isn't the destination either. This is all a journey. Because you might think, well, what's the next one? Well, this is why I asked you to move. Because actually, you need to look, get in a position where you can look back where you were sat and see someone else sat there. And the person who is sat here should be constantly looking down this line, saying, who's the person of peace? Where's the believers that I can make in disciples? So I'm kicked off my chair, so they become the disciple makers, and I'm going to go back round. As a disciple maker, I'm going to go and gather the person of peace, and I'm going to share my faith with them, because they're interested. They won't leave me alone. They just keep them appearing in my life, and I'm going to see breakthrough from their sin by praying the prayer of repentance with them. And I'm going to see them become a believer, and I'm going to pray and discern with them to get through the next barrier of stuff by discerning what needs to be pruned off their lives. And then I'm going to see a disciple where I'm going to pour my experience and encourage them to read the Bible, to pray, to worship, to step out, to share their testimony. And then I'm going to help them to abide in Jesus. And every time I do that, I'm getting something myself. I'm getting accountability. I'm getting encouragement. I'm making myself vulnerable before God and before man. This is the simple steps of faith. And it is simple. Now, there's many other ways you could look at it. But for me, this is a really healthy model. Just for us to work out. Where am I here? Where am I on my journey? And don't feel guilty if you're down the bottom. It's okay. God knows. God knows where you are. He's not wagging the finger at you. He's encouraging you to move along and mature. Because he's poured himself out for you. He wants you to pour yourself out for him. It's that continuing thing. But the main chair I want to concentrate just for 2 minutes is this chair. Let's start at the beginning. The person of peace. Those that are seeking. How do we reach out to them? I'm not going to list a huge list, but just after Christmas, I mentioned Bob. Did anyone remember me talking about Bob? No. Maz knows, because we've been bobbing already. Bobbing. What is bobbing? Now you may have a strange picture. I was really struck by a conversation I had with Liz Martell. And as you know, Liz is a natural gatherer. Yes, they do fantastic work through Eden with the young people. But she's also good at going around people's houses and just dropping off gifts, simple gifts. And that's what Bob is. Bags of blessings. Simple. Something we can all do. And a bag of blessing is, I've got some brown paper bags. And you decorate it if you want. We've decorated a few. You might want to cook some cakes. Put some cakes in it. Put some verses in it. Put a program of what's going on in it. Put healing rooms time on it or something. Put something in it. Whatever you feel God wants you to put in this bag, put in it. And then go and give it to someone. Your next door neighbour. A person at work. Just say, I just want to give you this. Why? Because I want to give it you. What is it? It's a blessing. I want to bless you. What, for me? Yes, for you. And just leave it at that. Just leave it at that. And see what God might do. Bag of blessing. Because we all meet people who don't know Jesus. And I know sometimes that can frustrate us, because it's like, God, I've been trying for so long and I just can't seem to get the conversation going or get it beyond the first base. Let's take a step back and reset ourselves and say, let's step forward and let's just bless someone. We're not preaching at them, we're just blessing them. We're just going to give them this gift and we're going to do it regularly. So it might be once a week, it might be once a month. It could be someone at work. It could be someone on the street. It could be someone you just feel in your life that you just feel, hey, I just want to give you this. And let's invite them to come and see that the Lord is good. And pray that through that, the conversations may start. What is this blessing? What does that mean? What does that mean for you? I'm blessed. What does it mean? Over the last 4 weeks of coming back from India, I've been setting up these groups called Three Thirds. And I will explain more later. But we started one with Joan here, with the Family Centre staff, and Honora. We've got one going with Jason. And we've got all these people with Jason. I mean, we've got three Muslims coming along. I mean, the staff want to join in. And all we're doing is sat down and opening the word and having a discussion. That's it. But the most encouraging thing is I've shared my testimony and my story more in these last 4 weeks than I have in the last 5 years. Because I've just been sat as a believer. I haven't used what God has given me. And just being able to share my simple story, my simple testimony of faith, or times where I prayed, makes a real difference to the person of peace. Because it blesses them. It blesses them. And we need to be people who feel, if nothing else we can do, we can bless people. We've done a blessings course, Joan and the Life Group. And it's been a really good tool, hasn't it? Because we can bless anyone. You don't even have to say, do you want prayer? Just say, I'm just going to bless you in the name of Jesus. Oh, I'll just bless you and everything that you do today. And they don't even know what's happened. They're like, oh, that's really good. Thank you very much. Rather than saying, can I pray for you? Or is there something I can pray for you about? And then they spend the next 10 minutes telling you what they want to pray for. And then you spend the next 15 minutes praying it back to them. How many times have I done that? Because I see it in myself. I've just prayed back what they've told me. It's like, that's not a blessing. I'm just giving it back to them. And then putting the name God in the middle. I'm not saying that's entirely wrong, but I can see it, the effects, because I haven't seen anything else. I haven't always seen the answer to prayer, but I definitely haven't seen them move from this chair, the seeker chair, to a believer chair. And I'm determined that we start breaking through this barrier of sin. It has no hold on us. It has no hold on the people that we meet. We have been gifted the power to release people. We've been gifted the power of the Holy Spirit to see the breakthrough of sin. Not just in people's lives, but in our streets, our homes, our workplaces, our community. Wherever we are, we have been given that. And the challenge for us is to move seats. Let's just move a simple step. Let's not just sit in the same place where we always do and ask ourselves, God, why isn't this happening? I'm not asking you to jump mountains. I'm not asking you to raise the dead. That may come, and I expect it to come. But I do expect that the God who has saved me will save others. Shall we pray? So God, I just thank you for the testimony that we can join in with. Not just what's happening here in Bradford, but across the world, Lord, that we're an international movement, that these brothers and sisters who are pouring their lives out for the gospel, Lord. And Lord, we want to join in with that. We thank you for the opportunities that you've already given us. I thank you that we have all been stirred up, Lord, and every person who's been in this place or is in this place has always had a sense of calling. And I thank you for that. That's a real gift that we've gathered with people who know that they've been called by their God. But God, we just declare that sin has no hold over what we do. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can bless people. And we can say, come and see. We invite people in. And Lord, if nothing else, we can just start to see people of peace who we meet with become a believer of Jesus Christ. And then together we can go on this wild and adventurous journey together where it might just go crazy and chaotic, but it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be full of you, Lord. We do pray for the lost, but we also say, send us who are saved to the lost. Let's not pray them in, but pray us out. In the name of Jesus, amen. I appreciate I've raced through this, and I'll be referring back to this, but if you want my notes and talk about it in your life groups, please, or just together, please come and speak to me. I'm more than happy to photocopy them or type them up nicely rather than the few scribbles I have. And I'm not saying this is the only way either. I just think this is just a helpful step to help us give the blueprints of our journey. And it's very, very simple. And that's why it works for me, because I'm a bit simple. Takes me a while to get there, but we're getting there. Wherever there is, we're getting there. Bless you. Have a cup of tea. No, don't move. Don't move. I've just remembered, before I release you for the caffeine and the bee squeets, I need to ask you a question. This is for church members only. So, as you know, we're a home mission church.